Good morning, and welcome to this edition of A Public Affair on KGNU with the Community Foundation of Boulder County. I'm your host, Jim Williams, Dean Emeritus of the University Libraries for CU Boulder, and I'm a trustee for the Community Foundation of Boulder County. My guests today are Don Haddad, Superintendent of St. Vrain Valley Schools, and my colleague, Alphonse Keasley, Associate Vice Chancellor in the Office of Diversity, Equity, Community Engagement at CU Boulder. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for joining me this morning. The Community Foundation's 10th edition of its Boulder County Trends Report was released on October 16th. The report tracks 150 community indicators across a variety of issue areas. Today, and in subsequent shows, we're going to lift up and dig into the themes from our most recent trends findings. Be sure to join us each fourth Monday of the month on A Public Affair. Today, our focus will be education. We know from the trends report that high school graduation rates are improving. But the report raises the big question, are poor and minority students actually more prepared for college? The trends report talks about how every stakeholder is, quote, all in, unquote, in St. Vrain Valley School District, and how equity depends on, quote, relationship approach to educating children. So, Don, what does this mean to you, this business of a relationship approach to educating children?
Well, you know, when you talk about being all in as a community and a relationship approach, we have spent a lot of time with our community understanding that educating our children is everyone's responsibility. And so from the students to the parents to the teachers to the administrators to the business community to the elected officials to the media outlet to our legislators, everyone involved has come together to really embrace this notion that our community is going to be much stronger with a well-educated group of children moving up. And as far as the relationship piece goes, I think what's important is that it's a sincere relationship. You know, what we've done in our schools is actually transform them to ensure that every single child can go to a school that has a great facility, that has great instructional programming, that has great teachers, great technology, all of the things that we know work, early childhood education for all. And that's how I define relationships. Words can be spoken, and we can talk about the importance of relationships, but until you act in a way that demonstrates that you truly value relationships, I think it's important to do that.
Are we talking about that old theme, it takes a village?
Absolutely. It really does. And everyone needs to understand, in my mind's eye, that public education is critical. It is critical to the well-being of our society, both locally and nationally and globally.
As well as that question about equity?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Alphonse, anything else on this question about equity and relationship building?
Absolutely there, Jim. I appreciate the fact that you've made this about an all-in kind of situation there, Superintendent, because I do the work around inclusion a great deal on the campus and as well as in the city of Boulder in the county. And so to hear someone else who's talking about this in the way that you have been talking about it is really important, I think, for us to understand. Because if we're going to really see the kinds of changes that we've dreamed about and continue to have hope for, I think, especially around issues of equity, it is going to be about an all-in kind of situation and the relationship building. Again, the things that I read on a regular basis and talk to my students about in terms of inclusion is all about this idea of how do we develop the kinds of relationships where we don't have to always agree with each other, but that we can, in fact, be in a positive interaction with each other rather than thinking that we always have to be at odds just because it's something that we've been encouraged to do by unfortunate media types, if you will. So, yeah, I'm very supportive of this idea, and it's the work that I'm engaged in, have been engaged in for some time, about relationship building, friendship building, as well as working towards a greater equity across the board.
Thank you. So, Don, what does what does your school district do in terms of engaging stakeholders and bringing them together?
You know, we see communication as a 24/7 full contact sport, so to speak. And we use every way possible, whether it's our social media outlets, our direct mailings. We do hundreds of presentations personally and publicly every single year to all of our civic organizations and our community at large. We have brochures that help people understand the kinds of programs that we offer. We have parent groups that are leadership groups, Leadership St. Vrain, Grassroots St. Vrain. We have our student leadership groups. We have our teacher leadership groups. We actually believe that the communication and the connections that happen every single day in our district are, if not the most important, certainly one of the most important things that we can do. We have a huge responsibility when you talk about educating 32,000 students and preparing them for the future. And it's just simply something that needs to involve every single stakeholder group all the time. I think people underestimate the power of communication. The other thing that our community knows, and I'm so grateful to them for, is it's not an invitation to come and participate on the outer edges. They're sharing in the leadership of this district. They help make decisions. They lead. They guide. We're all at that same level when it comes to leading our children in this school district. And it's our community that is the real heart and soul of our school system.
You mentioned the number of 32,000 students. You did tell me earlier, how many schools are in the St. Vrain Valley School District?
We currently have 55. But we also have several homeschool programs and career development center programs and online programs. And we are in the process of building several more schools. We just recently, thanks to our community, passed a $260 million bond. So we have three more schools going up, plus a new state-of-the-art innovation center. And then with our existing schools, 29 of our 55 existing schools, we're adding on additional classroom space. So we're growing at a very fast pace.
So just take a minute, excuse me, and describe what happens at the local level in a school when you're talking about engaging stakeholders. Who in each one of those schools is responsible for taking the lead in bringing stakeholders together?
Well, we ask our principals to be actively involved. We ask our parents to be actively involved. We ask our students to be actively involved in leadership. Our teachers, our staff, our central office administration, our business community, our corporate sector, our elected officials, our media outlets. We ask all stakeholders to take responsibility for engaging the community, because that's really what it means to be all in.
So, again, it's that village.
It's that village, absolutely.
So, Alphonse, how is CU succeeding? And what is needed for better equity in higher ed?
Well, in terms of overall, we on our campus and really across the nation, I'm a part of a group called the National Association of Diversity Officers in Higher Education. And we're looking at what it's going to take in order to continue to bring in the students who really are not present on the campus. And just the other day, I was telling my class about the fact that we don't have a lot of African-American and Latino males who are pursuing higher education. It's something that we're working vigorously on to try to improve in terms of who's attending college, who has access. And then also because my field is speech-language hearing sciences, I also want to pay attention to students with disabilities. I want to make sure that they, too, are able to access higher education to the degree that is appropriate. So those are just some of the access matters that we're trying to address, let alone once the students are on campus, the kinds of interactions that they will have. Given that the numbers of students, in fact, the New York Times just published, I think it was back in the spring, who is attending college and where they're attending college. And we continue to see a change in who's attending, but not to the good, that we're not seeing as many people as we would like to from different marginalized communities that have not been a part of the college experience. And as that New York Times article was talking about, it's really important to look at it in terms of the long term of those individuals' lives rather than just whether or not they got a college degree. What difference does it make in their earning power and the ways in which they can be involved in their community, et cetera? So there are many matters that we want to address once we have students on campus, but not just the students who have usually been outside of higher education. We also think that in order to be able to change the way our society operates, there's a need for greater interaction across differences of all kinds. If we don't have those interactions, especially with those whom we think will be the future leaders in communities, then we're probably going to see this continuing divide that we've recently experienced or recently are experiencing in our country, that we need to figure out ways in which to make sure that people have greater opportunities to interact with each other and to engage in some of the not necessarily difficult conversations, but conversations that communities are not having. This is just not happening, where people are talking about understanding what the lived experience is for them in their world in the United States or around the world, really.
Thank you. We may get back to that question about males. That's an interesting statistic. I want to take a moment to thank our listeners for tuning in to KGNU's A Public Affair this morning. I'm Jim Williams from the Community Foundation Boulder County, and my guests today are Don Haddad, Superintendent for St. Vrain Valley Schools, and my colleague Alphonse Keasley, Associate Vice Chancellor in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and community engagement right here at CU Boulder. We've been discussing education in Boulder County. According to the Trends Report, there's a promising trend in educational equity. High school graduation rates hit a six-year high in 2016 in this county and around Colorado. But to understand this better, we need to better understand e-credit recovery courses and varying graduation requirements. Don, I'm not going to assume that our audience understands e-credit recovery courses. What are those?
E-credit recovery courses provide an online opportunity for students to recover credit online in order to help keep them on track for graduation. So it might be a 0.5 credit that they're short, and so they can engage in an e-credit recovery program simultaneous to taking other courses at the high school, and this will help them to graduate on time and make work up. And it's been very, very helpful.
So can you help our listeners understand what our county's graduation rates are and the influence of online learning and variable requirements on those rates?
Yeah, one thing that's important to understand with graduation rates is every district has their own requirements, and some districts' requirements are more rigorous than others. So, for example, in St. Vrain, we require 24.5 credits to graduate. We've increased the requirements for math and for science along with other things. In other districts across the state, you might see maybe 20 credits or 21 credits or 22 credits with only 2 years of math and 2 years of science. The important thing to know about graduation rates is that unless you explain to the public that there's two separate or three separate different requirements, then it's hard to track whether or not what a graduation rate means. In the Colorado Commission for Higher Education, you have to have certain high school courses completed before you even qualify for admission into a CU or a CSU or a four-year college. And many of the school districts in Colorado's graduation requirements do not even qualify you for admission into those colleges and universities. And I think this strikes at the heart of equity, because unless we have requirements that prepare every child to at least have the opportunity to go to college, then I'm not sure we're doing, I think we're doing a disservice to our kids. And I've spoken with the state on several occasions to bring some clarity and uniformity to graduation rates and to represent them as they truly are to the public and give all of the information to the public that they need, because graduating from one district means something very different than graduating from another district.
That old problem with everyone starting at the same starting line.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. So, Alphonse, CU draws students from all over Colorado, all over the country, and indeed internationally. Perhaps you initially see these students as products of their early high school experiences. In what ways do we most wish that students were prepared to navigate college and move on to professional success? How can school districts, parents, mentors, and communities help?
Well, I think a lot of what the superintendent has been saying really speaks to the last part of your question there, Jim. There are lots of ways in which people can evidence leadership in the communities and the ways in which they can support educating our population. There's a course that I teach, one that I've referenced a few times already, where we talk about what does it take to have a democracy. And if we don't have an educated populace in all sectors, then I think that we're going to be in trouble. But let me go back to the first part of your question about navigating. You know, there was one of our chancellors back at the turn of the millennium who made a point after the unfortunate Columbine situation that our students are not making a connection between the material that they're learning and living their lives. And that's one of the things that I hope that our students would come to the university understanding, that this is really going to be a connection. I identify as a Freirean educator, and that's one of the things that Paulo Freire actually talked about, which is the word and the world. When he started his young life, he had parents who helped him to make a connection between what he was hearing and seeing around him with that which he was learning through the literacy that they were providing him. And that connection point that I just made about Chancellor Benny was really, really important to me, because I wasn't sure that all of our kids who were coming into the university acknowledged that that's what we're going to do in the university. There's going to be a real connection to that which they're learning in their lives. It's not just something that they have to do for an academic performance, but now they must take it much more seriously, and that there will be consequences. That's one of the things about becoming an adult, right? We now understand that there are consequences. So that's one of the things that I think that's important for our students to know about in terms of navigating the university, especially a university like the University of Colorado Boulder, where we throw the kids in the deep end, if you will, so that they're getting ready to understand that not only what you're learning in the classroom is these ABCs, but you will also get to utilize it in our research that some faculty is engaged in, or some project that a student might want to take on to, say, to do a senior honors thesis. There's a connection between that which is being taught and learned and the world in which we're living. So that's an important piece. And then the other one, which I'm pretty sure our K through 12 colleagues are doing, is the inquiry-based approach. That is a big discussion that's going on in higher education anymore, is that we want our students to come into the institution recognizing that curiosity and inquiry are critically important components of being a successful, or at least an engaged, not necessarily successful, but an engaged university student. Those are the early pieces that I would like to work with, because then I think what will happen when the students are with the faculty, they'll begin to really grow into what it means to be in higher education and going on into a professional world and a happy life, I would hope.
What are you seeing in terms of the preparedness of the students who are applying, for example, to CU? What are the class standings looking like as students enter their freshman year here at Boulder?
You know, we're very proud to always announce about how prepared, well prepared our entering class is and how diverse our class is. But what I see in the classroom with the students is, again, what I was just talking about. Are they really ready to engage in that kind of deeper inquiry into understanding that which they're doing? I mean, I teach an honors class in the fall, which is what I'm teaching right now. And my students are great. It's usually, I'm wanting to make a point about this, it's usually mostly females. I have only one guy this semester in the class. And they are mostly young white females. There are three Asian students in the class. And so, you know, bright students. This is an honors course. And one of the things that they continue to recognize is, like, they didn't expect that which we were doing in this course, the level of degree. And I have to admit, I take advantage of the fact that it's an honors class and that honors students will do what it takes in order to be academically successful. But I also appreciate the way that they grow, the way they mature intellectually in the classroom as a result of that which we do in the first year course. So, yeah, it's something that I'm always hoping that they're ready to engage in. Not all of my students, though, will have that same level of engagement such as the students in his honors class. And that's the tough sledding there.
Thank you. So to both of you, what's next on the horizon for increasing educational success here in Boulder County? What do we, as a community that prides itself in being educated, need to know and do to actualize this sort of success we expect from our students and from our educational institution? We know, for example, that preschool influences graduation. Mm-hmm. Don, what does the St. Vrain Valley School District do to ensure that more kids attend preschool and kindergarten?
Well, and a great question. And this is what I was saying about, you have to look at the actions more than the words to understand what an institution is doing to ensure equity for all kids. We have approximately 25 elementary schools. We're one of the only school districts in the state where every single elementary school offers a high quality preschool program in every school. We also have full day kindergarten in every one of our elementary schools, which is very unique. You won't find that in many places, because that great start is critically important. And every child, regardless of their socioeconomics, has what I believe the right to start in a high quality early childhood education program. And the state doesn't necessarily fund all of these opportunities, but we in St. Vrain believe in them so much that we have adjusted our funding patterns to make sure that every child is engaged in these programs. And the results have been significant for us. We have raised our graduation requirements. And even though we've raised our graduation requirements, our graduation rate continues to rise. The number of students engaged in higher level, more rigorous coursework continues to increase. Everything about the data is showing that a great start makes a big difference.
Thank you. Alphonse is involved with the Family Learning Center in Boulder, and he's also involved with I Have a Dream Foundation. So help us understand what CU is doing with both of those organizations, please.
Well, first of all, a shout out to my colleague, Chris Pacheco, who's in charge of, or rather as the director of, our pre-college and outreach programs on our campus. So that's the first place that we start. That's speaking about our pre-collegiate pre-college programs, because we actually have a program called pre-collegiate. So we have several pre-college programs. And what's really nice about what's happening with our pre-college efforts is that we're trying to develop partnerships with school districts all around the state. It's not just within the Front Range area, but it's all around the state. And that's the hard work that Chris and his colleagues are putting in to make that happen. But I also have to send a shout out to my dear, dear friend at the Family Learning Center, Brenda Lyle, and the staff over there. They're doing some incredible work, starting with preschool, which I think is such a great piece. I'm going to go back a little bit and talk about STEM. I know that we don't have a lot of time left. But it was at the turn of the century that I read something from the National Science Foundation about if we want kids to be able to go into the science, technology, engineering, mathematics areas, we have to get them started early in life, before third grade. And it's like, I'm always wondering, why aren't kids looking up at the stars, aside from the light pollution, and trying to wonder what's out there? Do we give kids that opportunity at the earliest point in their lives to be able to be curious? Yes, I'm high on curiosity right now. But do we give them that opportunity to do that? And such that we don't want to see this gap between some students who are able to succeed in STEM and others who have no idea of why that might be important and so forth. And so the Family Learning Center is one of those places that's really working hard to help to keep the students, the young people, early preschool as well as throughout K through 12, interested in what education can bring for them.
Very exciting to hear about those two initiatives and to hear about the early kindergarten activities and preschool activities that you've got in St. Vrain. Congratulations. Alphonse and Don, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your expertise with our listeners. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning into the Community Foundation's monthly program on KGNU, A Public Affair. You can learn more about the Community Foundation Boulder County and read our 10th Trends Report at commfound.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again on November 27th when we'll focus on civic participation and giving in Boulder County.